Well, there weren't many changes, but there was one that shook the franchise.
Somehow or other, we've got completely off course here.
Shut up, idiot!
With the triangle, the ball is constantly moving.
You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pick.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Welcome back into another hot episode of the Triangle Offensive. Of course, I'm your host as always, G Smith, G Wiz, however you know me. I'm here with my co-host again, Dave, King Dave, and some call him Papa Dave. We got some hot topics this week. Papa Dave. Daddy Dave. We got some hot topics, man. Good to have you on. Glad you can make it, you know, in such circumstances. We got some good stuff this week, man. We're going to do something a little different, but it should work. I mean, we're professionals. So, of course, we got NBA topics. What week is this in the season? Three? Third week of the season? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think it's week three.
Yeah, we got some heavily contested games, man. Some teams that we thought were going to do well aren't doing so well. And then some teams that we thought were going to be kind of bad, they stepping up pretty early in the season. So let's get to it, man. What's the first topic? And as always on the Triangle Offensive, we give out the topic and then we start a clock. 2 minutes per topic where we discuss it, and then we have our traditional buzzer sound. If you listen to the last episode, that's what we're going for.
So, basically, the Wizards were 1-7. The fans started turning on them mid-game, started booing them at home. So, I guess the question I was asking is, what's wrong with the Wizards? Like, you've seen them hit a ceiling, and they seem to do this every other year or so. So is it time to gut the roster and start over, or switch coaches, or what can fix the Wizards?
Well, to be reasonable, the Wizards are bombs. We've discussed this before. I've always felt like they were bombs. They showed their true colors when they played Boston for the chance to get to Cleveland to play for the title. There's something wrong, and I believe it starts with John Wall. John Wall's game has gotten marginally better since he first came in the league. And because of that, he's holding back not just Bradley Beal, but he's holding back the team. I think you need a new coach. I think you need to move John Wall for some pieces, maybe some draft picks. You have pieces there. Oubre, Otto Porter, Bradley Beal. You've got players, but it's just a matter of bringing it all together. And John Wall cannot be the guy that you lean on. He just can't. So, to answer the question, the Wizards are bombs.
I would say it's a coaching issue. I've never been a Scott Brooks fan, so I would put the blame on him. Like, right now, the Wizards have the worst defense in the league. They're giving up 122 points a game, and that's with Dwight Howard in the center. So I would start there. But it's like you said.
Well, Dwight's Wall, only been back, what, a game? Two?
I mean, even still, he's kind of over the hill at this point. But you got Wall and Beal. They signed these giant contracts. Mahemia's making more than $15 million each of the next 2 years.
They're handcuffed.
So you got a ton of money kind of tied up. So if I had to move Wall or Beal, I think I would move Wall. Just based on how the NBA is played now, like, you kind of have to have a consistent jump shot. And Wall doesn't have that. A lot of his game is pretty much based on athleticism, and that's normally the first thing to go. So, I would probably have to move Wall.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our next question. Luke Walton, reprimanded by Magic Johnson for the Lakers' below-average start, shall we say. there's a lot of moving pieces to this thing, man. Let's get down to brass tacks. Who's to blame for the Lakers' current predicament?
Magic Johnson. Plain and simple. The roster isn't good. Magic built this mashup roster of spare parts of Frankenstein with Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee and all these other odd moving pieces. You got a bunch of rookies and stuff, but really no jump shooters. Then you have LeBron James into the mix. But it's nothing sustainable. You don't have shooters. You don't have a sustainable center. Like, JaVale McGee hasn't played more than 15 minutes since 2014.
Although JaVale McGee is having a fantastic season. He's leading the league in blocks.
Right. He's playing well, but a lot of that's predicated on the time he's playing. Like, he's good as first. You can't play JaVale McGee 30 minutes a game. Like, that's not – he's an energy guy.
Yeah, he's not that kind of center. He's a traditional center, a defensive guy, like a Tyson Chandler. Build a team around him, but he's a good piece to bring in when you need that stop or a change of pace.
That's why he worked with Golden State.
Yeah. And they used him sparingly. He's getting used by the Lakers compared to how much he was used with the Warriors.
This is the most he's been getting used in 6-7 years.
Since
man.
His Wizard days. Like, it's interesting. I got to blame Magic because for some reason they had a bit of a youth – not a youth movement, but you had pieces that you drafted to build on, to build with. Then you bring in Rondo to compete with Lonzo. Lonzo's better for this team. You look at the team. You got Brandon Ingram, but then you have Michael Beasley and Lance Stevenson and LeBron. You got too many forwards. We talked about this before. Yeah. A team with too many forwards will never work. It will never work. You need to have defined positions, defined spots, defined players. These guys really don't know. I mean, Beasley's going to be – I don't even know if he's in the rotation, but he won't be. Lance Stevenson shouldn't be in a heavy rotation. Seventh, eighth man. He's getting too many minutes. Dude, you got all these guys. You got all these guys. You got two teams, basically. You got a young and old, and you're trying to mesh the young with the old. That's not going to work, ultimately. And now you see the problem, and LeBron is trying to carry this thing, and they want to blame it on Walt. Let's move on.
All right, the next topic was Derrick Rose. A couple days ago, Derrick Rose dropped 50 and kind of made everybody remember his greatness. You had players around the league shouting him out on Twitter, name dropping him in interviews after the game and everything. So I guess my question was, is this a big deal? Is it like a culmination of a redemption story, or is it just another day in the NBA?
It's just another day in the NBA. There's four players that have dropped 50. Two of them are first ballot Hall of Famers. The other two, Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose. Look, man, there's people getting buckets all over the place this year. I'm seeing scores of 120, 131, 40. The Warriors almost scored a buck 50 on the Bulls. So Derrick Rose getting 50, congratulations. You know, you did it. You can still score. He was 4-of-8 from 3. Everything else would drive to the basket. There's no way he could sustain that. And he showed that when the next night, it was the night after, they played the Warriors, and the dude played 3 minutes because he had a little tweaked ankle. So, no. To answer your question, it's meh. It's definitely meh.
I've been a huge Derrick Rose critic, so I kind of thought it was a big deal. I thought he'd been washed for a long time. So seeing him drop 50 was impressive to me. Like, and then the post game interview with him crying, like talking about how hard he worked. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a fan of the Bulls, I kind of wanted to see that push, and I didn't see that push. But again, like, I can't critique the dude. I'm not in the gym with him. I'm not with him in the offseason, that kind of stuff. But as a fan, like, I didn't see that drive in the Bulls jersey toward the end, you know. But to see him, former MVP, kind of reduced to trade bait and moving around, and now to come back and drop 50, man, I was happy to see that for the dude. And I know I've been overly critical of him, but I was happy for him at that moment.
I mean, you know,
I think it was a good, it was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, it's all nice and fuzzy and everybody feels good afterwards. Yeah, okay. Congratulations, man. I'm moving on. So, our next topic, like we talked about earlier, NBA teams are averaging 113 points per game, which is the highest rate in 49 years. Is this ultimately good for the NBA, or is this a sign of trouble?
People like points.
Chicks dig the long ball.
I compare this to kind of what the NFL is doing with their league, as far as nobody can touch anybody. Like, it's hard to tackle now. You can't touch quarterbacks. So I look at this the same way in the NBA. Like, you kind of got the hand tip. Everything's gone, like, to protect shooters. Like, you can shoot. You got this freedom of movement type deal where you can carry. And, like, James Harden, I'm surprised he even dribbles. You know what I mean? Like, so it's so hard to play defense now. Like, I think this is what the NBA looks like. And now you got teams shooting three-pointers at such a high clip, the point total was going to jump. You know what I mean? So I feel like us old heads got to get used to the new NBA, man. I feel like the point totals is going to keep going up because the mid-range game is gone, so it's only threes and layups at this point. So
I think this shows the evolution of the player. But ultimately, if you look throughout history, people might think that this – people always thought, okay, this is the peak. You know, this is – if somebody wins a championship like this 2, 3, 4 years, this is what we need to do to compete in that era. It's not true, man. You look – you got the Showtime Lakers. You got the beat-em-up Celtics. You got the Bad Boy Pistons. You got the two-headed monster, the Chicago Bulls. You got the San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan, Twin Towers, and David Robinson. You got the Lakers three in a row with Shaq and Kobe. Things change, man. It's just all about great players. It'll always come down to that. So the fact that guys are scoring points, yeah, you know, that's a byproduct of the rules, the rule changes. But ultimately, I don't think you need to fix anything. I just think it's going to make for better basketball. This is some of the best basketball we've seen. It's not just chucking shots, you know, not every game. But this is some quality, you know, high percentage shooting, scoring. I mean, guys are doing their thing. Guys are doing their thing. So, I'd be a little concerned, but we'll see. It's too early to call.
All right. So the next one, is the Warriors' dominance scaring teams from competing? So they got Kevin Durant a couple years back. Now they add Boogie.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, what's the point of going against the team? What's the point of going against a team with six all-stars on it? Like, why even compete?
Here's the thing,
is, man, that kind of dominant scaring teams?
I think so. Some teams, because it scares them into making dumb decisions. They draft players to be the next, you know, so they're like, okay, we need the next Steph Curry. We need the next Klay Thompson. We need the next Kevin Durant. You don't need the next thing. You just need a great player, right? You need a great player, two great players. Hopefully you can draft them. Hopefully you can keep them. And in that time that you have them, build around them, build a strong enough, more successful enough team. Look at what Philly has done. I look at Philly. While people can get on Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons or Markelle Fultz for that matter, right now, give them time. You give these guys time, play together long enough, you'll get other draft picks along the way. You'll see. You got to get them time in the playoffs. You'll see, okay, we need to make a trade to get this piece. This piece is the missing link, or these two pieces, or we'll shift this around. But you got to get teams time, man.
I think that dominance has pushed teams to get better. Like, I thought of Boston first. The first team that popped up in my head was Boston with the Kyrie trade.
Yeah.
And signing Hayward. A lot of the draft picks they compiled.
While still winning, by the way.
To make a run at Golden State. Look at the move of Houston where they went and got Chris Paul. And they kind of built a roster, you know, to put up points.
Yeah.
To keep up with that team.
Then, like, they threw that idea
OKC
out and said, we need to score more buckets. After,
like, they lost
based off of one
game. But then they went and got Paul George. Like, Toronto was willing to trade a star for a one-year rental at a superstar. You know what I mean? Just to kind of see if they can get to the next level. So I don't think it's scaring teams. I hate what the Warriors have done, but I feel like it's kind of lit a fire up under a lot of franchises.
Yeah.
Because you hit a wall, man. It's like, either we going to watch these dudes roll over us every year, or we got to make some moves, man.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fair. Again, that's something that we'll just see develop over time. Moving on to the next topic. So, OKC is on a bit of a win streak. At last check, it was 4 games. And it's interesting because those 4 games coincide with Russell Westbrook's return. Huh. What do you know? So, conversely, you have the Rockets, who I think they were 1-5. They just won a game recently in Brooklyn. But James Harden's coming back. Here's the question. Let's get down to it. Is OKC better than Houston, or is Houston overall better than OKC?
OKC is the better built team at this point. I feel like Houston took for granted the defensive capabilities of Ariza and
Bamute.
Like, I feel like they kind of underrated a lot of that defense, and it shows, man. Like, you kind of replaced them with Carmelo Anthony, a washed-up husk of what used to be an all-star,
husk.
To replace that kind of defensive talent. Like, you you need that, man. You got OKC got 2 guys in their prime. They got a decent roster kind of built around them with Adams and a couple other guys. So, just looking at the 2 teams, as of right now, I would have to go OKC is more of a threat. The Rockets are in free fall, man. They can't play a lick of defense. And if that ISO ball ain't working, that team is in trouble.
Yeah. I think OKC is the better built team currently. But the problem with OKC is they're not built for the playoffs. Houston is. Chris Paul, when the game slows down, that's the dudes you want. You want Chris
right.
Paul. You want James Harden. You want those ball-dominant guys who can get to the line, get their own shot, and get you a shot. Not just a good shot, a great shot. The problem is that Houston might not make the playoffs, so it really might not even matter. My major issue with these clowns is that you let go Mbah Mute. You let go Trevor Ariza like they were nothing. You get Marcus Chris, who I haven't seen play. You get another cat that you didn't draft, you picked up. And then you got Michael Carter-Williams. First off, why is Michael Carter-Williams spotting up in the corner shooting threes? What?
I didn't know he was still in the league.
Michael Carter-Williams is hanging around, man. I don't really have a good description for him, but he's a bum. And he likes to hang around. And it's okay, you know, as long as somebody will pay you. But ultimately, all of these moves in the offseason, you compile them all together, they hurt Houston. Houston they might not make the playoffs, to be honest. And you can see what happened when Chris Paul was suspended and James Harden was hurt. Man, it was all downhill. So, we'll see. Again, that's something to keep your eye on.
So, last topic.
Nice.
you're nice to go. The Bulls got absolutely demolished.
Shellac, I believe they call it.
They gave up 90 points. In the first half.
92.
Yeah, 92. Sorry.
We need to be accurate here.
It was absolutely embarrassing. So I guess the question is, who needs to fall on the sword? Should the Bulls fire Hoiberg after that game? Because of that game?
Hoiberg, Stephen A. Smith said it, but I thought it first. Hoiberg should have been escorted off the bench. John Paxson and Gar Foreman should have had his, when they came down to get him, should have had his stuff and their stuff in one of those rolling carts that you see the old women put their groceries in. put all their stuff together, okay, and say, hey Fred, come on man, we it's time to go, we got to get out of here. And they just wheel their cart on out of there and get in their cars and never be heard from again, because there's no flipping way that you field a basketball team to allow the another team to score 92 points on you. They scored a game's worth of points in a half. You gave up 14 three-pointers to one man, and you consider yourself playing basketball? Man, dude, you should never be allowed to coach again. John Paxson, Gar Foreman should never be allowed in a management situation. Yo, man, go work at a Costco or someplace where the stakes aren't as high, because this is absolutely ridiculous. Fire him now. You should have fired him 2 weeks. You should have fired him 2 years ago.
2 years ago, thank you. That's my point. Hoiberg shouldn't even be in this position. Like, we should be yelling at another coach for this mistake, because it shouldn't be Hoiberg. The man, he's giving up. He got players fighting. Jimmy Butler and Rondo and Wade. I mean, they walked all over this guy like he was a substitute teacher. You had Bobby Portis breaking players' jaws. Like, this team has been a train wreck. He took over a team that Tibbs took to the second round of the playoffs and proceeded to miss the playoffs. That was the biggest indictment of Fred Hoiberg right there. You took a team that went to the second round of the playoffs. The exact same team. I think that Paxton intentionally gave him the same roster just so he couldn't screw it up. And my man's missed the playoffs entirely. Fire that dude. He should never be here. Go back to Iowa.
And take your button-ups with you, man. I'm tired of seeing you on the sideline.
Man, dude. Oh, Fred. Checker Fred.
All right, so those are our topics for the week. That's your weekly NBA rundown. Of course, as always, though, this is still called the Triangle Offensive. Even though we don't have three people on it, two people's just fine. Two people, three, a set of questions. You know, we have a good time. So, again, I want to thank my co-host, Dave, for taking a little time out of his day. I am your host, or I have been your host. Check us out. Where can the people find you, Dave?
Catch me on Twitter, man. KingSense85. I'm gonna start tweeting eventually.
KingSense85. It's not bad. I'm actually a little jealous of that. I'm gonna have to come up with one myself. Dang, that's good. Again, next week we'll have a new set of topics. We don't know what's gonna happen in the NBA. We have no clue, but you know, whatever happens, we'll talk about it. All right. So, again, thank you again, Dave. I've been your host, G. Smith, and this has been the Triangle Offensive.